You're listening to the Bottom Line podcast, where those living with or beyond bowel cancer, as well as health professionals involved in bowel cancer treatment and care, share their inspirational stories and lived experiences with host and bowel cancer survivor, Stephanie.
Today's Bottom Line podcast is celebrating women and talking about their journey with bowel cancer. In celebration of International Women's Day, Bowel Cancer Australia raises awareness of bowel cancer in women and shares empowering stories from Aussie women who are kicking bowel cancer's ass. Today, we are chatting with Kristen and Kat, or the two Ks, both who have been faced with a bowel cancer diagnosis in their mid-40s. Welcome, Kat and Kristen.
Hello.
Hi.
Now, offline, you were just telling me you two are great mates and you met at Call on Canberra last year.
We did. We were social media friends through the various Bowel Cancer Australia groups, and then we met in the flesh, got photos, and then, yeah, we just connected.
Kat actually came with me to meet with my MP because I was really nervous. It was my first time. And so she was a really great support of cheerleading me on.
I think that is a big beauty of the bowel cancer community and what Bowel Cancer Australia have done in terms of connecting the community and finding your tribe and then finding people during diagnosis, but post-treatment, and then probably for life, who understand what you went through.
Yeah, 100%.
It's so fabulous to have you both join me today on the Bottom Line podcast. Before we delve into your stories, we hear it time and time again, the misconception that bowel cancer is an old man's disease, don't we, ladies?
Yes.
Yep.
But the reality is that bowel cancer affects women of all ages, and nearly half of those diagnosed are women. So, Kat, I'm going to start with you. Can you quickly give us a snapshot of your diagnosis, age and stage, and a little snippet?
I was diagnosed in October of 23, stage 2, after 2 years of persistent fatigue and low iron, then eventually anemia. Yeah, I just wasn't getting anywhere with my current doctor, and my mum said to me, you know, I think you should change doctors. You know, do you remember Dr. Trish? She's now in the city. You saw her as a kid. Go and see her. And then, you know, Dr. Trish sent me off for colonoscopy, endoscopy, both came back clear. So I'm like, oh, it's not cancer. And they told me it wasn't cancer. And then Dr. Trish said, you're not getting any better. Go back and, you know, I want you to get a pill camera test. So I had the pill camera test, and then that's when, you know, the alarm bell started.
Right. And you were diagnosed at what age and stage?
44 and stage 2. And I was really lucky because my surgeon said that the cancer was in the bowel lining and, like, no evidence that it has spread, thank goodness. So I was just really lucky.
And you wouldn't have had chemo then, being stage 2, or did you, for mop up?
I did have chemo, yeah, mop up. So I had, is it Capox?
Mm-hmm.
So for the 4 cycles, as they said, you know, this is a safety measure. We can't promise there's not a stray cancer cell, but we want to do this. So I'm like, yep.
Bit of an insurance policy.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
At our age. And Kristen, yourself.
My story is quite similar to yours, Kat, in that around 45 years old, I started having symptoms that were perimenopausal-like and did some things to treat that and thought that I had things under control. And then a year later, you know, the pain started coming back, the exhaustion, the anemia, all of those things. And I just thought, this is my life now. I'm just an old woman who's just tired all the time and can't do the things that she loves. But something told me to chat with my GP, and luckily my GP did not write me off the way I was writing me off. And she got me to try a few things, and as those things didn't work, she said, out of an abundance of caution, I'm going to send you for a colonoscopy. And there was no real reason for her to do that. No family history. I eat well. I exercise. But she saved my life with that abundance of caution. So I was really lucky. It was stage 1 for me. So that was the lucky part. The unlucky part was that I ended up with a stoma.
Which we might come back to in a minute because I really want
Sounds
to delve
good.
into that side of, how it affected you. Both of you are mid-40s, and you've touched on this, Kristen, around the fact that so many female issues are disguised. I just had a baby, for example, and I was exhausted. What mother who's got a two-year-old is not exhausted? But it was dismissed as being a new mum and having just had a baby. It can also be disguised as endometriosis or part of our menstrual cycle. Or for older women who are at that back end of their fertility cycle, it can be perimenopause or menopause. Could you talk me through that a little bit more with you, Kristen? Because I think that's a really important point, not to dismiss these symptoms.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I'll ever know what was what actually, because I definitely went to my doctor first with pain and hot flashes and mood swings and brain fog and really unpredictable bowels or like period poops. And, some exploration really focused around my uterus, which was great. Did find adenomyosis, which is similar to endometriosis, and they guess that I likely had endometriosis as well. So sort of treated that with the Mirena, and that did seem to settle things down for a while. But it did, when the similar symptoms kind of came up again and again, yeah, it was really easy to write them off as just being that. And that's why I was really grateful that my GP didn't. I did, but my GP just said, like, let's take a minute and just look just that little bit further.
Which is what they should do. That's the reality. GPs should be looking at these symptoms. And if they haven't got better after being treated, then they should be investigating. Kat, did you have any similar, have you had any similar experiences?
All of my stuff happened during Melbourne's lockdown. So when I was feeling really tired and fatigued, I'm thinking, oh, I must be depressed. Everyone's depressed in Melbourne. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go to the doctors and go outside. I'm still breathing. Like, it's not an emergency. Because I think there was kind of that narrative of, you're only leaving if it's an emergency, whatever. So I think because of that, and I think also I kind of said, well, I'm still able to work. I mean, I'm really tired. Like, I'm still breathing. There was no blood in my poo or anything like that. So yeah, and I dismissed it myself. And also, bowel cancer, that's, 70-year-old men who smoke and drink whiskey. I'm not a smoker. I'm not a heavy drinker. I'm not the fittest person, but I wouldn't say I'm, a couch potato. So it just, I kind of didn't push for that. Like, looking back now, I feel like I should have probably advocated a bit harder for myself.
Which is a lovely segue in terms of, with those symptoms, what advice would you have for anyone who might be experiencing some of these symptoms?
I would strongly suggest that if you're low in iron to the point where you're anemic, I would just strongly just go and get it checked out because I didn't think, everyone that I told that I had bowel cancer was extremely shocked. So I would just push for people to go and do some further testing.
And Kristen, for you?
Yeah, I think the same. I think that it's so easy as women. We're often taught to look out for everyone else. And if any of my friends had told me what they like that they were going through what I was going through to get through a day, I would have taken them to the doctor myself. But for some reason, I was kind of like you, Kat. I was sort of like, well, it's all right if I swim and then have a half an hour sleep and then work in the morning and then instead of eating lunch, have a nap during my lunch break and then finish work. Like that's actually wild, you know?
Yeah,
And I
not
think,
normal, is it?
no, not at all. So I think, yeah, like treat yourself like you'd treat a friend and take yourself to talk to your GP.
You two women, I hate to use the word lucky because you're not lucky, but you managed to catch it early enough that you're now living a good life. We know so many others who unfortunately didn't catch it early enough. So let's get over this ick factor, correct?
Yeah, look, I have never spoken so much about my bowels in all my life. It is, look, it's just a bodily function, you know. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. I understand there's still like a stigma around it. When I went and had my last colonoscopy, and you know, everyone has that look on their face because they've done the prep the night before, and I looked around the room, and it was all older men and me. And so I think a lot of people, yeah, still think, you know, it's old men. It's old men, but when you go to things like Call-on Canberra, it's young, vibrant people that are coming down with this illness.
And although you were both mid-40s, you are still classed as early onset bowel cancer because it's under 50s. And we know now that Australia has the highest rates of early onset bowel cancer. So we really need people to understand the signs and symptoms, don't we? And I love that you're shouting from the rooftops about poo, Kat.
Oh, yeah, look, you know, I am. And I always mispronounce one of my specialists. Is it gastroenterologist?
Gastroenterologist.
That's the one. And I remember, like, she was quite shocked when the pill camera test showed a tumor. And she was so beautiful and she was so apologetic. I said, it's not your fault. I mean, they explained that the pill camera gets to the part that going down the mouth and up the pupa doesn't meet. And she said, oh, I'm just going to have to, you know, oh my gosh, I'm going to get all my patients to get pill camera tests now. But I said, you know, it's no one's fault. It's just, yeah.
Matter of empowering yourself to trust your instinct
Yeah.
and persist with a number of opinions until you get the answer. And hopefully it's not bowel cancer. That's the ultimate goal. But if it is and you catch it early enough, we're all living proof that that is a testament to the fact that we chased up on our symptoms.
Yeah.
And as embarrassing as it is to talk about poop if you're worried about some changes, like having bowel cancer, like you're going to be so familiar with poop. Like it would be way easier to just have a conversation, get it checked. And quite possibly it could be something else, or you could be like, I do consider myself incredibly lucky to have caught it when I did.
Oh, yeah, same. I remember when I was diagnosed and I kept on saying to my dad, I'm so lucky, I'm so lucky. And he'd look, I think, you know, the parents were in shock. And I'm like, but I am, I'm so lucky. They found it and they chopped it out of me. And now I get to do chemo and that's going to, you know, it's like an insurance. And how lucky am I? I said, I've been sick. You know, they were saying that the tumor possibly was there for at least 2.5 years prior, but they said it must have been extremely slow growing. I said, how lucky am I that I got the slow growing one? I'm like, other people don't get that.
No, that's right. I love how you look at the positive of everything, Kat.
You have to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Kristen, you touched on this before around your surgery. Obviously, you had stage one, but you had a reversal, and I had a reversal, so I know what that's like. And you're now experiencing LARS, so the effects of that. Could you briefly explain what it is and then how it's affecting your life?
Yeah, for those that don't know, lucky you, I'll say. For those that do, you'll know that it's really something that impacts the consistency, the frequency, and the urgency with which you need to poop. And also, I like to frequently play a game called Is It Poop or Pass the Gas? And can be an exciting and dangerous game.
We can say, I'm going to say this, I have sharted, but it was when I was pregnant.
Oh, you're so lucky. I went on a vegan yoga retreat last week, and I can tell you that a vegan yoga retreat has some benefits of mindfulness, but some dietary impact.
I
So
can
I threw
imagine.
out a couple of pairs of underpants just this weekend.
Sorry, I've derailed your conversation.
It's all right. That's exactly how it goes. And I think the hard part is that it's really different how it impacts everybody. So for me, it's like a daily thing. And some days I sort of get to the end of the day and go, whoa, I didn't even think about it. Like it just sort of worked out all right. And other days, like I'm now, it's going to take me a while to recover from the vegan yoga boot camp. And that's going to be, exercise and reining my diet back to the sort of low residue diet and trying to get it back on track. But it impacts me in ways that I have to constantly push myself out of my comfort zone. So, for example, a friend of mine wanted me to ocean swim, and I've always been nervous of that. But one of the like since cancer things is that I'm like, oh, I'll try anything, right? Like, so I'll go try. But there was this real thought of like, well, how am I going to get out of a one piece bathing suit? Like, as a woman, when you're wet, getting out of that when you need to be. So I swim in a two piece suit for probably the first time in my life. I would not usually do that, but that's like a way that I try not to let Lars stop me. I try to like put these things in. I wear period underpants all day, every day, because those are absorbent for anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, yeah, there's some strategies that I've tried to put into place to try not to let it stop me. But I'm still like, if you need to know where the nearest public toilet is, like I know, I can tell you the quality of the toilet paper. I can tell you whether it's been cleaned recently. I'm familiar.
And we laugh at that, and I think looking at it from a positive and in a jovial manner helps you get through it. But that is the reality. Your life is a new normal now. And for those that, have gone back to a normal life where they don't have to worry about where a toilet is, you do.
Yeah, constantly. And sometimes up to 15 times a day would not be outside of, normal-ish for me. And it has gotten better. So that's, I guess, one thing that people kept telling me is like, it gets better. And I was like, 8 months ticking by, 9 months ticking by. And everybody said like, there's like something that happens around a year. And I've just passed over a year reversed. And it's funny, like, whether I've just got more relaxed about it or whether things have like really improved. Something's happened that's made it more manageable. And people keep saying like even up to 5 years, things will change. So I'm hopeful, and it's also a lot.
Some people may never get back to normal. Did you access the support services at Bowel Cancer Australia to help you with Lars, and has exercise helped?
Jo was, who's our diet, the dietitian. She was such an anchor for me, like all through coming out of the reverse. Well, she actually like got me game ready. So she got me ready for the reversal. Then she was there to see me through after the reversal. Diet's been an essential part. And yeah, for me, exercise as well. And ironically, those are the two things that helped me manage my periods before. They're helping me manage the Lars, and they're helping me manage the perimenopause symptoms too. So I've become a bit of like one of those people that are like, I need to eat protein and I need to swim.
Fantastic. Kat, did you experience any side effects that have impacted your lifestyle?
For me, it was more like the neuropathy from the chemotherapy. So it's not so much in my hands anymore, but it's still in my feet, that kind of pins and needles. It's much better now, like I'm nearly 2 years out of finishing chemo, but yeah, it's still there. So sometimes, like, I need to be really cautious of how I'm walking. Like, I feel like I'm not walking properly, so then I'll go to the osteo. They'll be like, "What have you done to your calves are so tight and your hips out?" And I think I mustn't be walking well enough. So yeah, for me, the neuropathy, 100% in my feet.
You live in Melbourne, so that, when it's freezing cold.
That, and I think also, I mean, I would imagine everyone would experience this to an extent. It's, the health anxiety that comes with bowel cancer. So, yeah, I think they're the two main ones.
Yeah, once you've had it, you always have it in the back of your mind. It may not dominate life, but it's in the back of your mind.
And it might not even be conscious. Like I was coming up on like a, I was supposed to have a blood test, and because my first blood test, I'd ended up with an obstruction, so I was back in hospital. So that one got missed because I had everything else. And then when the 6 month came up, somehow I didn't have the form for it. I had a form for 9 months. And I was just like, oh, clearly I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. But I turned into this horrible person. I was like cranky, I was anxious. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, it's coming to 6 months. And just sending a message to my colorectal surgeon saying, am I supposed to have bloods? That was it. I didn't even go and get them. It was enough to be like, oh, actually, I just need to check in again and not ignore it. And I think, yeah, I hadn't realized that I was carrying it. I thought I was chill, but I wasn't.
And that's okay as well. It's a completely normal aspect of it, which I suppose we've touched on the bowel cancer community and how important that is. Both of you are members of the movement. How has finding your tribe, obviously you two have found each other, which is just beautiful, but how has finding your tribe really helped you through your pathway? I'll go to you, Kat.
Look, for me, I'm getting quite emotional. It's been life-changing. Yeah, finding people. I mean, in the early, sorry.
No, it's, that's part of it. That's, being able to share your experience.
So, like in the early days, there were a couple of people that reached out to me when I stumbled across the Facebook groups, and the first person was Anthony, Gabby, and Nina, and then I met lots of lovely people, and just everyone was so kind. And it was just such a nice place to come to where people understood how you were feeling. And then also, that movement group and the meaningful movement group, and just getting back into exercise and people just like, just celebrating your small wins. Yeah, it's been really life-changing for me. So it helped me. Has helped me and continues to help me.
Fantastic. And for you, Kristen?
Yeah, I think that sometimes I get a bit of like imposter syndrome, like I'm not cancery enough at stage one. And when I finally posted on the movement Facebook page, I wish I should have looked up who it was, but one of the regulars like said, welcome to the group no one wants to be a part of, but we're really happy to have you here. And just so you know, there's a lot of people here that are in like further stages, so don't worry about that if you're just at stage one. And you're always welcome here, and you're welcome to ask questions, and just know that some people might be further along, so don't compare yourself necessarily. And I felt so welcomed and so like someone was already looking out for me and taking care of me, even just in a little Facebook post. And then, yeah, starting to see the same people, even like just seeing their faces and posting little ideas. And then, yeah, I've sort of moved a bit away from the movement because I feel like I'm in a space now where I'm kind of maintaining. And so I feel like the meaningful movement page, the exercise page, is one that I feel really inspires me to continue to take really good care of myself, to continue to do the things that I know are going to help prevent recurrence and just make me feel good. And so, yeah, and that page is like everyone will celebrate you if you like walked down the street to get milk. Yay!
Absolutely.
it's like it's my favorite because it just feels like joy. And I think that there aren't a lot of places where you can just be yourself authentically and someone's gonna just cheerlead you on for it.
Yeah.
So,
And
yeah.
they allow you to be vulnerable, which is really comforting. And I've had many an occasion where maybe I've been quiet on one of the groups and someone has DM'd me, just checking in. It's just so kind.
Yeah, I think that's the we talk about social media in negative terms, but in terms of these communities and these online groups, how positive they can be. And you find what you need too, don't you, Kristen? As you have just said, you were on the movement and then you moved to the meaningful movement and you've still got that connection. And then we also have the forward movement, which is for just stage four patients where they can be their authentic self. And that's really important. And I love hearing these wonderful stories of connectivity because as humans, that's what we need, right?
And I think one of the other women that's in the group, she sort of hadn't had as strong of a connection to the exercise group. But one of the things that she spoke about was like crafting was like a key piece for her in managing her anxiety around treatments and caring for herself. And so there's like a group of us that have started this like offshoot crafting group, and
Oh, I
like
love it.
it's the creative, and it's like you don't have to be like a quilt master. It's like come and build a Lego set. I think you're right. I think finding people that have been through this core experience like you and also have these ways of coping that you might tap into to make it a little easier, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's that connection.
As women, what do you wish you'd known about bowel cancer before you were diagnosed, Kat?
For me, that it's just not an old person's disease, and it's, the standards and regulations have changed so much with all different kinds of cancer. I think, this is, my own fault. I'm still living in the 80s in my head as to what cancer looks like. That breast cancer screenings after 50. People don't get breast cancer under 50. That's what I grew up, and also, my sister and I talk about this a lot. We grew up with such a kind of awareness and fear about, our breasts and getting breast cancer. So we were very militant with, you checking yourself. My family never thought that I'd end up with bowel cancer. Yeah, so I just think for people just to be aware, not dismiss changes, and that if you're anemic and there's really no reason for it, like you haven't just given birth or you're, maybe a vegetarian, like I think you should go and get some more checks. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And Kristen?
I guess first, as a human, I didn't know that I could have accessed bowel cancer screening at 45. So I have been diligent with my cervical screening, diligent with my breast checks. I'm like on those, and I don't know what would have been different if I had known, but maybe I would have taken it and found something sooner. It's hard to know. So I think I wonder, well, maybe it is about being a woman. Like I wonder if I hadn't been a woman where the focus had been a lot on my reproduction and perimenopause and what's going on there, if there had been an option, like maybe they would have looked at something else and not just sort of stopped it. Oh, well, it's your lady bits acting
Yeah.
up. Angry
Yeah.
uterus, I believe, was what it was referred to as.
An angry
Gosh.
uterus. Good Lord.
Yes.
Really?
Look.
Was that a male specialist by any stretch of
No,
the
she was a lady
imagination?
and she wasn't wrong. Look, I'm wrong.
Oh, dear.
I wish I had known about the bowel screening from 45. I think that would have been helpful to me. And I think some of that, like you said, is that lack of understanding that this could be a person that has bowel cancer, a 45-year-old fit woman with no family history.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, absolutely.
When you look at that photo of all of us from Call in Canberra, a couple of the informal photos we took, I remember showing it to my sister. And I mean, she's been part of my whole cancer journey, and she looked at me and she just went, "Oh my gosh, they're so young." Like it really hit her. I go, "Yeah. Yeah." She's like, "Oh." Like it's really shocking when you see all these young people. That's not what people think a cancer diagnosis of bowel cancer looks like. They don't picture young, healthy, relatively healthy people. Yeah.
I did a podcast and they said part of it was her face. There was nowhere that she saw her face and recognized herself in any bowel cancer awareness material. This was some years ago. And I hope we're changing that at Bowel Cancer Australia, that they're, yours and my face and young men and young women, they're all faces of bowel cancer and you're never too young to get the disease, are you?
No.
We are nearly coming to the end because you two are just so on it. It's time for my top three tips. And I always ask for those that know and listen to the podcast for your top tips of what you want people to take away from today's podcast. Kristen, what are your top three?
I think my first one is trust your gut. Like, Notice the changes, and if things don't feel right, don't disregard that. Just go and get it checked and hopefully feel relieved. So that's number one, trust your gut. Number two, I think, is find your people. I think whether that's to help you stay healthy and not get bowel cancer, which would be awesome, or whether that's part of your journey of support around having a diagnosis and living through bowel cancer. Find family, find friends, find medical practitioners that you trust, and definitely Bowel Cancer Australia. I couldn't have done it without Bowel Cancer Australia. And I didn't find them, they weren't recommended. I Google searched them, which I think has now changed from my GP through all of my specialists. They now, I think, because of me, will probably be recommending it due to me saying, why didn't you tell me about this? So.
Fantastic. Word of mouth. We love that. And that we did not ask you to say that, Kristen. So thank
Oh,
you.
no. No
This
kickback.
is not a pa this is not a paid endorsement.
Not at all. And finally, I think my third one is like sort of to the researchers in the medical field. Like, I guess to quote Alexander Hamilton, like, include women in the sequel and people with ovaries. Like, stop excluding us. Yeah, our hormones are difficult. We live in these bodies. We know that our hormones impact things. So start taking that into account and start looking and not either or, not excluding, not, really consider that women are humans with complex body systems that need to be treated that way.
Fantastic. And for you, Kat, your top three?
I would say, number one, have a GP that you trust, that you feel like they are advocating for you, that they will go above and beyond to, investigate anything you want them to do. So I think, it's about having a good medical team. Number two, be really aware of your body and not be ashamed of your bowel movements, just as you wouldn't be ashamed of doing your breast checks once a month. Like, look at your poo, be aware of your tummy if it's bloating and how it reacts to certain things. Like, yeah, so become acquainted with your poo. And I would say the other third tip would be, look, I would reiterate what Kirsten was saying about Bowel Cancer Australia. I mean, they're fantastic, wonderful resources, lots of really great information, nutrition-wise, dietitian, to exercise, to all sorts of things. So they would be my top three tips.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. And they're great tips. Let's not put women in the too hard basket because I think sometimes that happens. Thank you to you both for sharing your lived experience. You are just so fabulous at being advocates and helping us raise awareness for bowel cancer. I love that you're friends and that we chatted today. I love that we talked about poop and threw that around, and we even said the word shart. I've been wanting to say that for a long while. I'm glad that I could chat to you two. You're two fierce and fabulous women who certainly are kicking ass after a bowel cancer diagnosis. So thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks for the opportunity. And yeah, it's great.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bottom Line podcast. To find out more about bowel cancer or for support or simply to donate, please go to bowelcanceraustralia.org.